Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, and ever-cape-wearing, and the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Getting me choked up in my words right here. Bob, great to be back.
You all right over there?
I am.
Good.
There's no water here, but yeah, Bob, back here. Another episode, exciting edition of Bob After Dark.
It certainly is. It's good to be back.
Good to be seen.
Yeah, weekend update from your account.
Update, the weekend was good, Bob, as we shift into the fall equinox here. I mean, Labor Day weekend, Bob, so it's kind of the unofficial end of summer. Went out and did some, summer end things that people do, as vampires do.
As
of course,
vampires do.
Drank coffee with a cryptid, saw a demonic shark, all that fun summer stuff that comes.
You did that all this past weekend?
All that. Yes, Bob, why are you questioning my weekend?
Normally you give me an actual weekend update, but sounds
that
like
was
you.
That was my weekend update.
That's fair.
Yeah, which that actually happened.
Oh, that happened, okay.
You don't believe me, do you?
No, what cryptid did you have coffee with?
Mothman.
You had coffee with Mothman, and
yeah.
You didn't call me.
You've seen Mothman already.
Never mind. Do I want to know? Like, was there a thing going on that you were doing and you didn't tell me?
No, Bob. I would always invite you if there was a thing going on.
Okay. Yeah. Killing me here. Would you like to know? I was in Columbus.
Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio. I was there with Vixen Mr. Raccoon from Paw Star. I was over there doing the freelance work throughout the weekend, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We had a good time. It was safe traveled back home. And now I am on an extremely busy week until next week. I'll be here. But the following day, well, 2 days after, on that Thursday of next week, I get my surgery.
Yeah.
Chances are I will not be in the studio the following Tuesday, so we're still figuring that out. But no, we'll all figure it out. Yeah, but I'm just excited I'm finally getting this thing yoinked out of my body that's been causing me so many problems.
They're going to yoink it.
They're going to yoink it. All right. And if this is your first time ever watching or listening to an episode of Bob After Dark, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in a night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite kind of pudding.
Chocolate.
That's a good answer.
You?
I would say chocolate as well.
Maybe tapioca.
Something like that. We're kind of like those guys you see on TV, the paranormal investigator types, except we have a sense of humor.
We are. We do.
Yes.
We try.
We split the show up into two parts. First part of the show is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the stories of the unusual, the strange, the anything from anything from alien and cryptid sightings to maybe some sort of weird ghost encounter on camera, and even advances on science that borderline on science fiction. And then we dive into the meat and potatoes of the episode. The lore of the week ripped right from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanderson.
Yeah. Right from the diaries.
Right from the diaries.
Personal book.
His own personal book. He's probably trying to chase after me right now looking for the pages.
You ripped the pages out.
Throughout this evening, folks, why don't you put Count Panic to work? Call in 219-845-1100. Now, Count, before we begin, I do have to make a quick announcement.
Sure.
And that is on the day of this recording,
today,
on September 3rd, our year of 2024, there is a very special birthday tomorrow on September 4th.
Okay.
It's the Queen of the Night's birthday.
Oh.
I sung to her, she would have a fit, Just know I want to wish you a very happy birthday from all of us in the Bob After Dark universe, and from obviously me, your person. I just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to her. I mean, Bob, that's quite the birthday to have.
I would say so.
Yeah. What did you get?
What?
Did you get her anything?
I did. She got it already. I couldn't hide it from her. I got her. There was this board game that we've been looking at for a couple of years at Gen Con called Vagrant Song. Oh. It's about ghosts on a ghost train.
Ghost on a ghost train.
Yeah, and that's totally right up her alley. So I surprised her with it at Gen Con, because it's kind of hard to hide a giant game like around with you without her noticing. You're so, right. But she got her birthday present.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All right, so you ready to dive into some weird spooky news of the week?
Yeah.
All right.
Right now?
Yeah, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So our first news story comes to us from NewScientist.com, written by Chris Stokel Walker. What are the weird noises coming from the Boeing Starliner capsule?
Oh.
There are some weird knocking noises going on inside that capsule. Maybe you guys have seen the news. This is kind of breaking news, but it kind of broke yesterday, so this is just breaking. It's newish news.
Breaking.
All right, so NASA is investigating a strange noise coming from the speaker on the Boeing Starliner capsule, which has been set with technical issues. The hapless mission to the International Space Station involving the Boeing Starliner capsule has encountered another hitch. Over the weekend, Butch Wilmore and Sunita Williams, the two astronauts who recently learned they will be remaining on ISS until at least February, began hearing weird noises emanating from the Boeing craft. "There's a strange noise coming through the speaker," Wilmore told Mission Control in Houston, Texas on just August 31st. In a recording captured by an enthusiast, "I don't know what's making it." Mission Control told Wilmore that they would be investigating the regular pulsating sound. In response to New Scientist's request for comment, Boeing deferred to NASA, and NASA didn't immediately respond. The Starliner capsule carried Wilmore and Williams to the ISS on June 5th, but the planned return journey with its passengers has been deemed too risky due to thruster failures and helium leaks. I have an update to the story.
All right.
In a statement sent to Jeff Faust at Space News, NASA has said the sound has stopped and gave an explanation. The feedback from the speaker was the result of an audio configuration between the space station and the Starliner, it said. The space station audio system is complex, allowing multiple spacecraft and modules to be interconnected, and it is common to experience noise and feedback. The feedback has no technical impact on the crew or the craft's operations, it added. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, that is creepy there, Bob. I know it's a company that's been kind of having their issues too with space stuff.
Yeah, I feel bad. I hope they get to come home safe and sound, man. That's terrible.
I know. What do you do? I mean, at that point. Yeah. I mean, I going up there enough.
Man, whether or not you're a religious person, I think the correct answer is to pray.
Yeah.
And pray, hope, figure something out, you know. Like that's got to be the worst feeling. Is just sitting there. What else are you going to do, man? There is literally nothing you can do.
How do you pass the time?
Solitaire.
Something like that.
Sleep.
But hopefully they do get back here quick enough, sooner rather than later. But yeah, that's eerie. I mean, you hear about, ghost in space. Is there anything more terrifying?
I don't know how I would that is such a scary reaction. Just imagine you two being alone in space and you just start hearing pulsating noises inside your space capsule. It's kind of like that movie Alien, if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, just like
Alien.
And there's only one space ghost that I really know about.
Goes coast to coast.
He goes coast to coast. But you know what? Bob, that's horrifying.
Absolutely. All right, ready to move on? Oh, we have a caller.
Well, we could.
Take it live.
We could take a caller live.
Take a caller live. Right, hello, caller on the air.
Hey, Bob. How's it going tonight?
Hello, John. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. I hope your surgery goes fine and all is well with you on that end. And but can you imagine you being out in space, not only just hearing noises, but you're confined. What if you had a panic attack or something? What do you do? What if there's really an emergency or something? Other than being up in space, if that makes sense. I mean, I've got to take a special, you know, person to go up there and want to do something like that. You know what I mean?
Just got to kind of do what you got to do. It's a tough situation to be in.
There's no, like, medics out there that could just be sent, though.
That's what they chose to do. That's what they want to do. But anyway, I don't know if you've been following the White Sox, and your dad was always a big White Sox fan.
I think even Dad's disappointed in the afterlife currently.
So with you saying that, I guess you've been following them. Unbelievable. I've never seen a team that not only is bad, but they're just getting worse every game. You know, it's, you know, bumping it. They're bumping into it. It's unbelievable. It's like watching a Little League game. So I'm thinking, you know, how could they be so bad? You know, not progressing any better or anything like that. So I'm thinking maybe a curse. I was wondering if a curse, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I don't know if you ever talked about curses on your show, but I don't know if curse is a paranormal thing, so I did look it up, and it said indeed it is, yep. And its definition is, it is a wish or a let me read what I wrote here, Bob. Hold up.
You got notes.
John's got notes. Look at him go.
More than I got.
So it says, it is a wish or a para-announcement that is thought to be made effective by a supernatural force. Kind of lengthy, but so it is, you know, a paranormal thing. So what say you on as far as curses? I know you're a believer in things, and it does tell you about rituals, just like any other paranormal activity, where you would do to get rid of a curse. But what's your take on curses?
Curses are a real thing, in my opinion. I mean, you put enough negative energy behind something, and, you know, something kind of sticks at points. You know, I don't whether or not it's a person doing the curse or there's just a curse on the land. It very broad definition, but I definitely believe in them. And, you know, there is a famous cursed story in the city of Chicago with sports ball. I'm not a sports person, but my father definitely was, and I'm aware of the Billy Goat curse with the Chicago Cubs. So maybe in the future we'll have to do a talk on sports curses.
Well, I mean, does it take a special person to put on a curse? Anybody put a curse on?
Remember, like attracts
like.
If I
get mad at somebody, can I put a curse? How do you put a curse on just somebody?
Like, now you're asking me questions that are going to get me in trouble, John. I don't want to teach people how to deal with curses. But here's the thing. Like, I've heard of family curses from not even non-like magical practitioners. Like, my mother always said that she would get the curse that, you know, that someday she would have had a daughter. And she, like, a daughter that she would have had. And that would have been just like her growing up, and she totally had my sister, which is pretty funny. So I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, my mother even said that. So, I mean, there's
like I said, I'm just lost to the Sox tonight, and you know, I can't believe how just every game they're just getting terrible, but worse to worse. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, maybe there's a curse on them.
Gotta,
you know,
be a
and
curse.
Then I figured. So I figured curse, paranormal, so I wanted to see what your take on it.
Oh, 100%, John. I hope I helped.
Hey, you always do, Bob. So good luck to you again, and have a good week.
Sounds good, John. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Do we have another caller on the line?
It could be. So you're saying there's a White Sox curse?
It could be. I'd have to find out why.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't let a goat into the stadium.
I guess. I mean, isn't that what the Cubs did? Then they bring a goat.
They didn't. Yeah, they denied the goat. Right.
I know that, but I think they brought the goat back, or they brought a goat back. I don't know.
They eventually won him like 100 years later, but I don't think they ever made. I don't think they brought the winning season had a goat coming back. But.
Speaking of curses, though, that's going to transition well into our next news story. Remember, we had an episode recently-ish talking about cursed movie sets with like Poltergeist or Exorcist. Yeah. Apparently, there has been some paranormal activity and some perhaps curses on the new Netflix special, The Deliverance, by Lee Majors, the $1 million man himself.
Yeah.
Or the $10 million man, not the $1 million
okay,
man.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a news story?
That's not. I'm sorry, that's not Lee Majors. That's Lee Daniels, Lee Majors.
Lee Majors
is the $10 million man, not Lee Daniels. I am sorry.
That's cool.
But anyway, Lee Daniels, The Deliverance premieres on Netflix amid reports of on-set paranormal activity. This article is written by Courtney B. for thesource.com. Last week, acclaimed director Lee Daniels unveiled his latest film, The Deliverance, on Netflix, receiving rave reviews for its chilling narrative and gripping performances. However, the story behind the scenes may just be unnerving as the film itself. Daniels, known for pushing the boundaries of cinema, revealed in a recent interview that strange and eerie events have plagued the production, despite his efforts to protect the cast and crew from any supernatural influences. In a candid town hall interview hosted by SiriusXM's Bevy Smith, Daniels recounted his decision to bring a spiritual deliverer on the set after reading about the terrifying occurrences that befell the productions of horror classics like The Exorcist and Poltergeist. Daniels wanted to ensure the safety and well-being of everyone involved, particularly The Deliverance explores themes of demonic possession and paranormal activity. Things happen and I was not going to let things happen on my set, and also I needed for me, Daniels explained. And so we prayed before every scene, and those of us that don't believe in prayer, despite the prayers and spiritual precautions, several unsettling incidents still transpired, leading Daniels to believe that something otherworldly may be at play. Among the most disturbing occurrences was the sudden illness in Daniels' sister, who had appeared in every one of his films as a good luck charm. Shortly after filming a scene with Glenn Close, she was diagnosed with lung cancer, a shocking and heartbreaking development for the director. She was in the scene with Glenn in the chemo scene, and she's the one who sort of gave her attitude in the chemo scene, Daniels shared. And 2 days later, after being in the chemo scene, she was diagnosed with lung cancer, literally. And then my dog died on set. The film star-studded cast, including Glenn Close, Monique, Andra Day, and Demi Singleton, also experienced strange happenings during production. Monique, who plays a key role in the thriller, revealed that she was hospitalized after a particular grueling scene. "Mr. Daniels had me doing a scene, okay, and we're outside," Monique recounted. "The demon was supposed to be on top of the building, so they kept blowing this. I mean, at one point I'm like, Lee, do we have to do this, fill in the blank, because I can't breathe. They kept blowing. He was like, one more time, one more time. So when I got finished, right, my thyroid was big. I mean, like, it was just sick. Oh, baby, I was like, what kind of hat blank is this? It was a lot of things happening with The Deliverance. The Deliverance follows a family in Indiana who became convicted that their house was a portal to hell after being experiencing a series of strange demonic occurrences. The film's blend of psychological horror and supernatural elements have already captivated audience, but the real-life events that haunted its production have only added to its mystique. As The Deliverance continues to gain momentum on Netflix, viewers might find themselves wondering just how much of the horror on screen was influenced by very real and strange occurrences that took place behind the camera. Daniels' latest work not only challenged the boundaries of the horror genre, but also leaves a lingering question. When you dwell into the world of the paranormal, can you ever truly protect yourself from what lies beyond? Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, well, you know, it seems like even the house itself, right, Bob, it's based off the Gary Demon House.
The Gary Demon House, yeah. Have you seen it yet?
I have not. But
I have not either.
I have seen it. But it's like even the folks that were at the scene.
Right. We had Father Maginot on the show recently where he talked about being in there.
Yeah. And then I know he faced some health issues after that. I mean, you hear about the caseworkers that kind of, you know, maybe went off the deep end a little bit, so to speak, after that as well. So people tied in, connected, just being inside that house during the time, kind of had some stuff go on in their lives. And now this on the movie set about the Demon Gary House, and then the actual people are getting kind of harmed here.
Right.
Is it a curse? Bring it back to curses.
Bring it back to curses. And it's interesting that this type of subject matter has been the topic of, you know, hauntings on sets in the past, poltergeist being that they use the real corpses, and the exorcist having such subjective matter. Is there a possibility that these things are creating some sort of tulpa effect or a giant, you know, lightning rod of paranormal influence, and it's just, you know, kind of doing its thing? I don't know. I will tell you that I was at the Gary Demon House. I was there. I was physically at the location.
What'd you see?
Nothing. Oh. I mean, there was some weird stuff going on around there, but mostly I was there. It's a story. I'll just say that.
You weren't there when the possessions were.
Oh yeah, I was. I was there during a certain, right before a certain documentary came out by a extremely famous certain paranormal investigator with black frame glasses.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, so I was there. I mean, I don't think I brought a curse home with me.
Yeah, well, Bob, the moral of the story is stay away from curses.
I would say so. You ready for our last news article, Count?
We could, but we could take a phone call.
Let's take
a
caller live.
Take it live.
We'll caller on the air.
Hi there. This is Lori Stasinski.
Hey,
hi, Lori. Also known as Cryptid Crash.
Cryptid Cash.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I just wanted to talk about, you know, the Deliverance movie. I've yet to see it because, you know, I don't have Netflix, and I have all these other platforms, and I'm too cheap to get all of them. But it is, like, the thing is I work in the mental health field, so I know a lot of people, you know, locally that have worked on the Demon House case, and, you know, they talked to Zach Bagans when he was out here, and it's interesting because it's very torn between what's science and what's paranormal, because there are professionals that I know that walked away saying, like, it's totally psychological, it's like demographics and, you know, different hardships that happen when you have a harder lifestyle. But then there were also, you know, reports of things levitating and things that couldn't be explained. But I totally I get, like, you know, when you're dabbling with a movie that deals with the paranormal, you're basically opening, I don't want to say like a portal, but you're allowing it to come into your life because you're acknowledging it.
Sure. 100%. I mean, I get it, and I agree with you.
I've been into that portal.
I've been there. I'm okay.
Right.
You turned out. Are you? Right. You're fine.
I don't. It's taken a couple of years to come back. When was I there?
You're right.
2000.
It could be better.
15, 16. I want to say.
It could be better.
So it's been 9 years, 8 years since I was there, and I was there before the house was taken down.
Yeah. Actually, do you know the reason why they say Zach wanted to take the house down? He tried to say that he, you know, it was because he wanted to take away the evil spirit. But actually, I found out it was like he didn't want James Wan to make like a Conjuring movie out of it.
Yes.
There's the drama.
But Bob, if you take the house down, the portal's still there, right?
Dude, you don't. It's not how that works. Got haunted bricks.
Oh.
Right. Like, it's still there.
Yes, just because you remove a brick doesn't mean that it's no longer haunted. Now you just got a haunted brick.
Yeah.
Or you got haunted soil. Yeah, it's not how that works. Yeah,
don't build anything on top of that.
It's like when they did the bricks from the Valentine's Day Massacre, supposedly. Those are all cursed bricks and everything. Like, the energy stays.
Yes, you are correct.
So, yeah. We got to have Lori on one day. She has some tales.
I was excited. I was like, I need a reason to call. And then I was like, I can get on this one.
That's perfect.
Well, thank you so much for being a supporter and calling.
And if somebody wants to give us Netflix accounts, let us have
it. Pass a Netflix account. So.
Yeah, we'll pass them around.
I got to go find one or find some way around it. It was good talking, you guys. And good luck with your surgery, Bob.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. See you, Lori.
See you, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bob, what's your Netflix password?
Let me just share that on air.
I think they're making it tougher these days. We do have somebody else.
I'll take the caller live.
If they're still there.
Caller, you're on the air. Are you there?
Good evening.
Bob.
Hello, Bob. It has been too long.
Bob, this has been, more like... it's been like a year and a half.
You handle this.
But Dracula.
Yes, it's I, Count Dracula.
Dracula, it's been like a year and a half.
I know it's been a while, but you know I'm a busy guy.
You've been a busy guy. Well, geez, this is quite random. What? How you been?
I know, right?
How have you been?
I've been fine.
Wow.
Terrorizing the villagers and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you know what?
Keeping all my minions in line.
Yeah.
Not so easy, especially when this time of year comes around.
I think Bob is very happy to hear from you there, Dracula. I mean, he talks about you still often, a lot, and he's like, well, I wonder where he went, and it's nice to have you back in here.
Hi, yes. Count. I'm sorry.
I know he's very happy. He's gone mad.
He can't regain his...
I can't.
He can't regain his composure.
Count Dracula, how have you been?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
You know, I was
enjoying
hoping...
this time of year... This Halloween season that's about to arrive next month.
This is a great way to kick it
right
off.
This is the best
kickoff right here.
Now, Count Dracula, every time you call, you leave us with some sort of pun. Do you got a vampire related joke for us this evening?
Not only do I have a story.
Oh, I'll take it. Whatever you got,
I also have another top 10 list.
You can have all the time in the world.
Wonderful. Let's go till midnight.
Well,
I can't do that. That was a joke. Anyway, are you ready for my story?
Yes.
All right. A passenger in a taxi heading for the airport leaned over to ask the driver a question and gently tapped him on the shoulder to get his attention. The driver screamed, lost control of the cab, nearly hit the bus, drove up over the curb and stopped just inches from a large plate window. For a few moments, everything was silent in the cab. Then the shaking driver said, "Are you all right? I'm so sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me." The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, "I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." The driver replied, "No, no, no, I am the one who's sorry. It's entirely my fault. Today is my first day driving a cab. For the past 25 years, I was driving a hearse."
That was a good one, man. That was a good one. I'm going to use that one, Bob.
Dracula, I got to get your top 10.
Top 10. All right. I heard you were talking about movies earlier.
Yes, I was.
All right. Now, coincidentally, I do have the top 10 horror movies that will definitely flop.
Okay, what you got?
All right, number 10, Attack of the Killer Garden Gnomes.
Okay.
I'd watch
number
that.
9, Zombie Hamsters from Outer Space.
I'd watch the heck out of that.
Number 8, The Haunted Toaster.
Okay. Toaster?
Number 7, The Possessed Rubber Duckies.
Ah, okay.
Number 6, The Cursed Lampshade.
Oh.
Number 5, Night of the Living Fruitcakes. Number 4, Sasquatch in the Suburbs.
Oh, sitcom.
Number 3, Revenge of the Possessed Rubber Duckies.
Man, we got a sequel.
Always a sequel.
Number 2, The Poltergeist of Aisle 3.
Man, I hate sequels.
And the number 1 horror movie that will definitely flop, Slender Man's Awkward Middle School Years.
Oh, Dracula. Thank you. Thank you, Trek.
You're very, very welcome.
I hope to hear from you.
Don't be a stranger.
I have a question for you, Bob.
Oh, sure.
A question for
you. Yeah, of course, Scott. What you got
when
for me?
When do you start celebrating Halloween? Some say it's July 5th. Some say August 1st. Some say September 1st. And the procrastinators start at October 1st.
Now, Count Dracula, I don't know if you're aware of this, but doing what I do, I kind of incorporate Halloween 365.
Well, 366 this year.
That's fair. Oh, yes. I don't not celebrate Halloween, but thank you so much for calling in, Count Dracula.
You're very, very welcome.
There you have it.
Good evening.
Good evening, Dracula. Take care. Oh, man.
I'm just cutting the last news story out.
Isn't it crazy, though? Like, you know, and we don't know much about Dracula, but every year, this may be a little longer than a year at this point. It's been a while since we heard from Dracula, so it's kind of nice.
Guys, those laughs are genuine.
The fact that he's still around is amazing.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Dracula. I just...
Great top 10 list. He has bits.
He has bits.
That's what we need.
You're fired.
He should produce.
No. There's only one Polish pierogi-eating
vampire. Well, he's Dracula. I'm just a count.
You're the count.
He is Count Dracula, which is the main guy.
You're just some guy. You're kind of like the court jester, right?
We answer to him, yes.
Yeah, you're the court jester.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Count, do you want to take a quick break?
We need a longer break for that one, though. But wait,
before we go to break,
I do want to kind of piggyback what he did say there. I know a lot of people kind of, after the 4th of July, they get really into it.
Yes.
Now, I feel like that, and again, Bob, I know it's all year round for you, but I mean, you got to give a little time in there, I think, to respect the summer solstice. But being after Labor Day, Bob, I say a full speed ahead.
I mean, for me, in our house, it starts July 5th is when we start talking about it, and I grumpily agree. Okay. It's more playful grumpily agreeing, but yes.
All right, well, there you go. That settles that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kyle, you ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, for our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
I'm folklorist and author Mark Muncy.
And I'm author Erica Lance.
And we host Eerie Travels.
It's a podcast where we discuss all things strange and unusual.
We discuss everything from Bigfoot to UFOs.
From Mothman to haunted locations.
From hidden history to legendary beasts.
From Cocaine Bear to the Jersey Devil.
From holler monsters to conspiracy theory.
We interview amazing guests that are actual investigators into the things that many believe to only be in the world of the imagination.
We also get into verbal debates about which monsters would win a fight.
If any of this sounds interesting to you, then join us twice a week on your favorite podcast platform.
So look for Eerie Travels, and we'll see you on the other side.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
Bob, during the break... You wouldn't believe it. I called Dracula back and had a great conversation.
That's great. What'd you guys talk about?
You know, typical vampire things. You wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't understand. No. I would not.
What'd
understand.
What'd you do?
You know, Count. I started watching Sesame Street to understand the counting better.
Oh,
you know, I'm trying to get to the bottom of who Count Dracula is. So I figured I'm going to start somewhere and learn as much as I can about this character.
They have their own count.
They did. That's why I'm saying. I'm trying to learn. What Count Dracula am I dealing with? Am I dealing with the Count from the Sesame Street?
Oh, I think it's
I think we could roll out Dracula. I could roll out Count from Count Sesame Street.
Yeah, no, that's not that. Yeah, I could tell.
No, so my wanted poster on my TV, who is Count Dracula?
Because you don't know who it is. We know it's just Dracula.
I know it's Dracula. Yeah. All right, so Count.
Yeah.
Last week... I don't remember what the deal was, but you and I talked about the black-eyed children or the black-eyed kids phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I haven't done that topic in a very long time, probably since 2020, and it wasn't a very good episode. So I'm like, you know, some things deserve a reprieve, some things deserve a round two. So I figured this is a good place for a round two.
Okay, let's give it a round two.
All right. What do you know about the black-eyed children phenomena?
Not too much, Bob. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I believe I've seen photos before, but I don't know exactly the lore behind it.
All right. So the black-eyed children, the black-eyed kids, the BEKs, as some of the paranormal community abbreviates it as, is an American folklore legend and a paranormal creatures that resemble children and teenagers. They said they have pale skin with black eyes, who are reportedly seen hitchhiking or begging, who are encountered on doorsteps or of residential homes. While tabloid coverage of these creatures have claimed that the tales of the black-eyed children have existed since the 1980s, most sources indicate that the original the legend originated from a 1996 posting written by Texas reporter Brian Bethel on a ghost-related mailing list relating to alleged encounters with the black-eyed kids. Bethel describes encountering two such children in Albany, Texas in 1996, and claimed that a second person had a similar unrelated encounter in Portland, Oregon. Bethel's stories had become regarded as a classic example of creepypasta and gained such popularity that he published a frequently asked questions just to keep up with the demand for more info about the new legend. In 2012, Brian Bethel told his story on reality TV series Monsters and Mysteries in America. He wrote up a following article for the Albany Reporter News, describing his experience and maintaining his belief that it was legitimate. In 2012, the horror film Black Eyed Kids was produced with Kickstarter funding, and its director commentating that the creepy children were an urban legend that's been floating around on the internet for years. He always thought it was fascinating. A 2013 episode of MSN's Weekly Strange that reported on the Black Eyed Children is thought to have spread the legend on the internet initially. During one week in September 2014, the tabloid The Daily Star ran three sensationalistic front-page stories about alleged sightings of black-eyed children connected to the sale of a supposedly haunted pub in Stratfordshire. The paper claimed that shock on the rise of sightings around the world. Alleged sightings are taken seriously by ghost hunters, some of whom believe that black-eyed children are extraterrestrials, vampires, or ghosts. Science writer Sharon A. Hill was unable to find any documentation of the black-eyed children encounters, concluding that the tales are passed down as friend-of-a-friend ghost stories. Hill considers the legend to resemble the typical spooky folklore stories, such as the Phantom Black Dog, where the subject is not supernatural and there may never have been an actual original encounter. Snopes rates tales of the black-eyed children as legend, and the city's cites an Inquisitor article that advise readers to file the black-eyed children under the same heading as Bigfoot. Believe it if you would like, but realize that there is no evidence of their existence, just a subjective testimony that ranges from reasonable to suspiciously fame-worshipping. I'm going to read you guys a couple more stories here about them, because there were some of the big, really big ones. The Bethel stories were what really drew attention to the black-eyed children phenomena. And TBS News actually has the Business Standard News has a really good write-up on it. This one's from Maria Motion, and I think a good place to start is from the beginning. They might knock on your door on a wintry night. You may see them approaching your car while you're waiting for the signal at a gas station. It might seem like they need help, or they might just stand still for no reason at all. These children do not look threatening. They would want to get in your house or your car. They will be persistent, and suddenly you will notice something is not right about these children. Their eyes, pure black from lid to lid, dead black orbs devoid of the color or iris, will chill up your spine. You have finally come across the black-eyed children. The black-eyed children are the black-eyed kids. We were saying, you know, can depending on the sighting, is usually 6 to 16. And they are usually seen at doorsteps of residential homes. You can find them hitchhiking or panhandling. Mm. Never in an extremely busy environment, though. Usually it's in a pretty desolate area or rural community. Besides the blacked out eyes, these children typically appear normal. Sometimes their attire seems outdated. In extremely unusual instances, people have reported encountering creatures with talon-like feet. No one knows where or how these creatures pop up. Conspiracy theorists believe that the black-eyed children are aliens trying to reach out to their Earth. Demonologists believe they are children of the devil himself, and if you let them in, you are allowing the devil to enter your life. They will want to enter your home to call their parents. However, upon making eye contact, it seems that there is such a more sinister plot to the story. Some people claim that these children have existed since the 80s. However, most sources say that the legend originated in 96, as we were saying. He believes that he encountered two of these children in Abilene, Texas. And one of the stories goes like this. In the snowy town within the middle of nowhere of Vermont, an elderly couple hurt... Excuse me, one sec. Count my notes just crashed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's weird.
Is that a curse?
It might be. Hold on. Give me one moment. Sorry about that.
The haunted notes, Bob. You hate to see it. But that you were talking about the demon house.
We're good. Sorry about that, Count. Thanks for taking over.
Hey, steer the ship.
I appreciate it. One of the stories goes like this. In a snowy town within the middle of nowhere in Vermont, an elderly couple heard the sound of three loud knocks on their door. They opened the door and saw two children, a boy and a girl. Parents will be here soon. May we come in? The children did not make eye contact and just stood there in the doorway. The elderly couple were hesitant, but after a while, they let the boy and girl inside. The kids settled on the couch while the wife made some hot cocoa and the husband asked them questions about where they were coming from and what we were doing. Most of the questions went unanswered, and when the wife returned and noticed that her cat was scared and angry with the children, they asked, "May we please use the restroom?" The wife looked at the kids and she finally saw them. The children's eyes were as black as a starless universe. She directed them to the bathroom and returned to her husband, who was covering his face with his hand. "Did you see their eyes?" The husband then shone his hand full of blood from a nosebleed. The power suddenly went out in the house and turned as dark as the kids' eyes. The wife headed up to the restroom and was confronted by the voice of the kids at the end of the hall uttering, "Our parents are here." Not good stuff, huh?
No, Bob, I would certainly not say so.
The kids then exited the house, leaving the door wide open. The wife then noticed that there were two men at the end of the driveway. The men were very tall and slender, and the wife waved, but they did not receive the same friendly gesture. The two men and the children then drove away together in one vehicle. The power then came back on a little later after the kids left. Throughout the next week, weird things happened in the house. Three out of the four cats went missing, and the fourth one had been found, unfortunately, passed away. The husband continued to have nosebleeds and finally went to the doctor, where he was diagnosed with extremely very aggressive type of skin cancer. The legend even crossed the bodies of water and landed in the great land of the UK in 2014, and the Daily Star wrote three front-page stories about sightings of the black-eyed children in a haunted pub in Stratfyre. And ghost hunters who believe that these black-eyed children were extraterrestrials, vampires, or ghosts took these sightings extremely serious. Nowadays, people still claim to see the black-eyed children when driving late at night down an empty road or outside of the window late at night, or even lurking in the shadows of their own room. Sometimes people have reported seeing them in the corner of their eyes during an episode of sleep paralysis, or even waking up in the middle of the night because they sensed somebody was watching them, looked up, and saw what the black-eyed children were just in the room, even unannounced. I have an interesting article here written by Jason Uffit of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, and this is a third part of an interesting story of a short series of encounters with black-eyed children and people, second detailing 26-year-old David Krabs' encounter in Michigan. Krabs encountered two black-eyed children at a state park ranger station and fled deeper into the woods. David Krabs pulled his car onto the main park road in Michigan, Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, leaving two haunting black-eyed children standing in the parking lot watching him leave. Instead of abandoning his plan of camping in the backcountry and driving 3 hours home, David pointed his car toward the campsites. "To be honest, I can't tell you why," he said. "I was just so much in shock and I really wasn't thinking. I just talked away my better judgment and I won't be doing that again." He pulled his car into an empty lot, unpacked his gear, and started the 45-minute walk to the White Pine Backcountry Campground. Down the beach and a mile and a half into the forest, David reached the campgrounds, and it was empty. "Usually this would be a happy thing to me, but the time I wished for all my might just for a little company. I pick a site fairly hidden from the trail, feeling that I didn't need anyone walking along or spotting my tent. David set up his tent and cooked himself some supper, and all the time wondering if there was something creeping toward him in the dark. After enough tugs on his flask of whiskey, he fell asleep. "I woke to a dead fire in the early dusk light coming in," David said. "I have to say that I slightly was surprised to be alive." Dawn bought him some renewed confidence. David ate breakfast, hiked back to his car, and made a decision he would regret. He stayed another night. At about 3 p.m., he drove to Traverse City for dinner about 45 minutes away. "I went to the steakhouse around 4:30, figuring a quick dinner, a 45-minute, an hour walk would help me get back to my camp just about dusk. But I didn't get out of the restaurant until dusk. As the growing darkness overtook him and the rain began to fall, David cursed himself for not heading home, and I was pretty damn scared again," he said. "I think that if nearly all of my gear wasn't at the campsite, then I just would have driven home." When he pulled his car into the lot near the campgrounds and turned it off, the darkness was complete. He pulled his coat close to him, turned on his lamp, and started to hike in the rain. "What made me worried was a creeping sensation of paranoia," he said. "As I walked, the sensation of paranoia and dread grew. I stopped every 10 feet or so to look around, but I saw nothing. It was hard to hear anything over the lapping waves of the lake and the howling wind of the storm, but I swear I heard voices in the tall grass." Then, near his campsite, his paranoia began to become unbearable. "My world fell apart," David said. "Hearing one of my strongest moments of feeling watched, I turned around, and there they were. The black-eyed boy who spoke to David the day before stood about 5 feet from him and took another step back. Each of the boys stood motionless, staring, just staring," David said, "and I felt like I was dying." The lead boy stepped towards David, and the beam from David's lamp reflecting in its hideous black eyes. "Help us," the boy said. Fear gripped David, and he couldn't move. Then the quiet one began to circle behind him, and David spat back, "I ain't helping you." "We're lost," said the first boy, his voice emotionless. "We can't find our campsite." "Is this a game?" David asked. "Take us with you, please. We'll die out here. We're afraid." The quiet boy just now stood a few feet from David, and the other one blocked his escape. "Then that's when things even got weirder," and he said, "Okay, you can come with me." I don't remember thinking the words, they just came out. The talking boy smiled and reached to take David's hand. "And it was like a physical punch to my stomach," David said. I recoiled at the sight of the little monster taking my hand. And then David ran. I didn't look behind me, I didn't know if they were following me or not, and I didn't want to know. All I know is I needed to run faster. At one point, David crawled into the woods, extinguishing his light, and hid under the underbrush. I watched the trail, waiting to see if the kids were following, and I waited for a couple hours at least. No kids. The cold and rain finally drove him to the camp, where he slipped into his tent, changed into dry clothing, and waited for what he believed was his death. Under the best circumstances, this is a night where a person's mind can get the way with them, and for me it was utter terror. David eventually fell asleep, but a voice aroused him. "Help us," the voice said. David could do nothing but scream. "Please let us in," the boy said, and David just kept screaming back, "No. It's cold, so cold. Please let us in, mister." David started crying and chanting, "No, no, no," over the pleas of the black-eyed boys. "I waited for death," David said. "I knew it was coming." At some point, he fell asleep and woke up to a clear sky. Outside the tent in the campsite was empty except for the body of a duck. Its heart had been ripped from its chest. David packed his gear, hurried to his car, and drove home. "I don't know if I'll ever feel safe hiking again," David said. "I thankfully haven't seen any more black-eyed kids. I don't want to think about whether they were demons or monsters, aliens or hybrids. My advice is, you ever encounter one of these BEKs, don't listen or speak. Just be polite. Don't be polite. Just run. Run. And don't look back." What you think, Count Panic?
Yeah, Bob. I mean, that's enough to kind of get you a jolt right there. The thing is, seeing those kids alone would be terrifying as far as just kind of looking at them. But then they have all these kind of backstories. Pretty strange stuff indeed. You can't defeat them, right? They're kids.
No, you're completely correct.
Can't fight them or anything.
I think people tend to just start swinging on kids that they don't understand, you know?
No, I know, but you're sensing there's something wrong. If you're light in danger, I guess you could fight a kid, but... All right, I don't condone fighting kids, Bob, but stay away from these kids.
That's some spooky stuff with
them. That's the moral of the story, Bob.
What's that?
That's the moral of my story.
So the question remains, what are these black-eyed children, right? What are they? Wow. Are they a tone to the Men in Black stories, not the Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones movie? Do we have a caller?
I guess we don't. I thought maybe we did.
All right, caller, you could try back, 219-845-1100. So, you know, the question remains is, what are these black-eyed children? Are they... So I guess the first place to start is the concept of some sort of alien creature. I mean, it makes sense, right? Most people believe that cryptids are some sort of alien extraterrestrial or even extra-dimensional kind of a creature, kind of leaning in and out. I don't necessarily think these... We have a caller now.
Yeah, we can take it live.
Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bob and Count.
Bill. Hi, Bill. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm enjoying those stories, especially the last one. It sounded kind of a little creepy, but I didn't realize Count Dracula had a sense of humor there.
Yeah, that Count Dracula's got the quips, man.
Bill, Dracula only calls in very rarely.
I liked the joke about the cab driver. That was good.
100%.
I was going to ask you, I think last week I called, I was talking about, you know, hauntings in East Chicago, and you mentioned the area where Club Cuyahoga was.
Yes.
What's the story behind there?
Do you have an official story?
I do not have an official story. We've kind of put a pin in the... We were supposed to investigate it, and then nothing ever came from it. Yeah. Maybe we can find out more on that, and I could get back to you on that, Bill. The major East Chicago haunting is the not Roxanna Count. What's the word I'm looking for? The Markstown Riley Road area, in East Chicago, okay, and Michigan Avenue, going up towards Klein. You have the story of the woman in green that is supposedly haunts the Calumet Bridge. My dad always said he's seen her around the Michigan Avenue area, Columbia, right there, meaning on Klein. He used to work at the steel mill, so he would be driving up and down Klein often, and he claims that he saw the woman in green before. So that's like the big, big story.
Well, I've been around that area. I used to travel around there, and I didn't see anyone. But like I say, when you mentioned Club Cuyahoga, was it the grounds or something? Well, you didn't know. Did something happen there? Or?
We're going to have to go and find out.
We're going to go find out for you, Bill, I promise.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I'll let you guys go, and like I say, I'm enjoying the show. And, Bob, you have a successful operation there.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bill.
I'll be talking to you.
There you go.
Thank you,
Bill.
You guys take care.
You too. Bill, a big fan of Dracula jokes as well.
Dracula jokes are the best kinds of jokes,
swear. We'll have to check in that Club Cuyahoga.
Yeah, but no. So let's try to nail down what exactly the black-eyed children are. So the concept of them being aliens and they're trying to phone home like some weird E.T. thing... Mm-hmm. I'm not buying it. No. I mean, I guess they could come in any shape or size. So maybe that's like, I don't know. I'm going to go with likely the least likely.
Okay.
Or maybe like a maybe. Yes, no, or maybe. I'm going to file the extraterrestrial in the maybe pile.
All right.
How about you?
I would say maybe as well. I mean, the description kind of seems like it could be like a kind of like from another planet. So yeah. It could be possible.
Cryptid.
Oh, I don't know. It's just a kid. Can a kid be a cryptid?
A cryptid is technically some sort of animal that we don't know anything about. Yeah, they have, you know, anomaly properties. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. This sounds like a straight up humanoid thing. Yeah. There's no real characteristics about them that scream animal other than the black eyes. There are cases of people saying they had talons.
Well, there you go. That throws everything out of whack.
But I mean that's only the one case of it. Are they vampires? Now what I find interesting about this is old vampire lore.
Do they have capes?
No, the vampire lore. They're not welcome in something until you allow them in via invite. That is an old vampire piece of lore for
you. You got to invite them in the house.
You have to invite them in the house or your space. So we look at the story of the camper, right? And if the camper is out in the woods during a storm and he's all by himself at a campsite and these kids were, you know, trying to attack him at his tent, I don't think a tent is going to protect you from some supernatural entity that may or may not have superpowers.
Yeah.
So I am going with child vampires.
All right. Well, hey, my mate or mine.
But.
Never mind.
So that one is going in my potential pile, 100%. Are they related to the Men in Black? Not the Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones movie, as I joked before. The actual Men in Black stories of these weird entities with odd abilities showing up to people's houses, specifically after they're having conversations about paranormal things that they can't... what's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here, Count. When they show up to a house, when you're talking about, you know, extraterrestrial things and they're there to shut you up.
They wipe your memory,
what exactly is the Men in Black? Are these children related to it? Yeah. I'm going with no, because they're not in any of these stories. Is there a continuation of a potential of these things being, are they attacking people based on, paranormal conversations prior, If they were real, I would have gotten a visit from a Man in Black already, or, Black-Eyed Child. Same with Art Bell or George Norrie, Neil Gibbons, any of us to talk about this sort of a thing. So I don't buy into it. Do I believe that the concept of a Men in Black is real? Sure, why not? But I don't think these things are related to them. I'm going with some sort of vampiric entity. Are they ghosts?
No.
No. That's good talk.
So we'll just chalk it up to being a vampire kid?
A vampiric entity? Do I believe they're ghosts? No. That don't make sense. They need to be let in. It could be a demonic entity. Typically demonic entities just don't happen.
Yep.
Usually you have to kind of let them in, give them a reason. Maybe there's some sort of vampiric creature. That sounds about the most correct out of all of this. Maybe it's some sort of extraterrestrial or interdimensional creature.
For now, the question is, you make your own call.
What's your answer? What do you think they are?
I'm going to, somewhere between the extra UFOs or vampire kids. We'll say somewhere in between.
That's fair. So, Count, before we go, I have two things I want to say really quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
One, once again, happy birthday to the Queen of the Night.
Okay.
I hope you have a happy and wonderful birthday.
Yeah.
You are everything to me, and I appreciate you. So, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Second thing I want to talk about is a couple of announcements. Oh. We have, let's go with our first announcement, social media thing coming up in October. So I've been hinting at it and I'm revealing it here. I'm going to be doing something a pinch different in the Bob After Dark verse.
Okay.
Obviously the shows will continue. I have a ton of bookings coming up, which I'm still trying to sort through. Cal Panic's even going to be with me at a couple of them.
Yeah, I'll be at a couple.
Yep, you're even going to be at a couple. But what am I going to do in the in-between time? So... I've been toying with this idea in my head, and it can be done. It's just going to drive me nuts, and I may end up losing some brain cells out of this. But I am going to let you guys, the fans, pick out 31 horror movies for me to watch.
What?
Yes. Oh, my God. So how this is going to work is next week, probably post-surgery, I'm going to have the post up, and I'm going to let you guys pick out 30. You guys pick out, as many of you pick out horror movies as you like. What we're going to do is we're going to have a live streaming session where I'm going to spin this wheel, digital wheel, that's going to have all of your suggestions, and I'm going to pick out the first 31 that I spin.
Okay.
And every day I'm going to make a review of these videos in 31 seconds.
Wow, Bob.
So you're going to get 31 horror movies in a row on 31 days
All right.
in 31 second reviews.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that, Bob.
Yeah, so that's
post
a thing.
Is coming later.
Yes, that's going to be coming up in October next month, but we're going to be prepping for it now, so I'm pretty jazzed about that. The other thing that's we going to be discussing is next week on the show, we're going to be revealing our October theme.
Okay.
Every year we try to do something really exciting for October. Last year we looked at horror movies that had some realistic lore to it. Yeah. The year before we did Exorcist or Paranormal Investigator History Month. This year I'm leaning towards a concept, but I need to run it by you to see where we're at with it. And okay. We're going to see. All if right. it's something we could do, I'm going to be announcing it next week, so stick around for that.
All right.
Yes.
We're not watching movies live here.
No, we're not. I'll be watching those on my own, right. posting Make those sure. on my own.
All right.
Now, Count Panic, yeah. Do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Everybody enjoy what's left of the
summer.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Just want to say goodnight to all of you, my fans, and to my mom. I just want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And Diff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Happy birthday once again. And thank you, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.